Today is a day when we do a lot of talk about expressing our love, and so today I want to talk about expressing our love. And you may have noticed that I have a red plaid on. You know, I just touched my phone, and how many of you have got your phone and you make sure it's turned off? And yeah, but if you don't, it's a $25 offering, so that's cool too. just kidding. But my wife and I are dressed alike today, and that's one of those things that she likes that helps express our love. That's a fun way for us to express our love. We're dressed alike, you know. Some people like to do that. We like to do that. So this was about the only thing we've got that looks exactly the same. So we just like, and I'm like, yeah, that's good. I'm a little casual looking today. I look like a lumberjack ready to cut down a tree or something. Anyway, turn to Psalm chapter 18, verses 1 through 3. And we're going to look at a scripture together. And then we're going to talk about expressing our love. So Psalm 18, verses 1 through 3. Are you there yet? I encourage you to have Bibles or an app on your phone or bring an iPad or feel free to bring a computer. When I go to conferences, I will take a computer and I will sit and type and go back and forth between Bible Gateway and what I'm typing because I like to take notes. So there are advantages to that. It helps you remember what you heard and what you learned. All right, Psalm 18, verses 1 through 3. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. So it is Valentine's Day. And we probably, a lot of us naturally, have love on the brain. And it's not a bad thing. Valentine was a saint. It's St. Valentine's Day. I won't go into the history of that, but a lot of married people have made at least some effort, I hope, to, communicate a little bit of love this week. Maybe you bought a card or flowers or both or more. Some people are spending money on jewelry. Got to make this week special. And there's nothing wrong with that. And so this is the week that we express our love, isn't it? And expressing our love is something that's very good. Today's the day. And how we express our love, it can kind of be a big deal, can't it? Most of us, I think, are aware that not everybody expresses their love exactly the same. Right? And as a result, some of you have seen those books. There's a lot of books. Lots of books on love. Multiple books on the five love languages. I jokingly say, or maybe I should say sarcastically say, that sarcasm is also a love language for me. I like to joke. I like to be a little sarcastic sometimes. You know, there are different ways that people click on their love languages, and we've talked about that a little bit here. I believe in that. I think it's a good idea to know if you've got somebody that's, you know, you're sharing life with, it's good to know their love languages, and I don't mean just your spouse. Know the love languages of your children. Know what affects them, and I won't go into those right now because that's just a way of making the sermon longer, and I don't need to make it longer because I love you. I'll try to keep from making it too long. And somebody's like, oh, that's my love language, quality time, or not using up my quality time. You know, that's the way it works. And then there are also books that, you know, just talk about things you can do and what you should do and how you treat your children with love and how to treat your spouse with love and how you treat your friends with love. And then there's books that about, you know, how men think about love and how women think about love and how men express themselves and how women express themselves. There's a book out there, Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus. And they're just that much different. So lots of books lots of millions and millions of copies sold, millions and millions of dollars spent on learning to express our love. Because, you know, expressing your love isn't really about how you express love. You realize that, right? Expressing your love is about how the other person responds and what works for them. That's why the love language book got so hot, because if you can figure out what makes your spouse happy, you can make them happy and they respond to that, and it's a good thing. My wife likes acts of service. She's not against gifts. She's over here raising her eyebrows like, yep. That's right. But she likes acts of service. So if I want to make my wife happy, if I vacuum without being asked, that just right in the middle of her love language is like, oh, he loves me. He's vacuuming for me without being asked. And I should do a better job at that. But it doesn't come naturally, maybe, to some people. How many of you are married to a neat freak? Nobody. Okay. Did any of you see that survey that was going around on Facebook where, you know, it talks about it's Valentine's Day, and I saw that I think the Schnitkes did it and the Earharts did it, and so I copied and pasted and I did it. And then I had people questioning some of what I said, like, how dare you? Like, I mentioned that I was, you know, on my first kiss, I was ambushed in the stairwell at the bank that Lisa worked at. I didn't fight it. No, not a bit. You know, Lisa and I we started dating kind of on New Year's Eve, but it was already New Year's Day, and our first date was actually sitting together in church on Sunday morning, and we dressed alike. There you go. It's still happening. We're dressed alike today. We dressed alike then. And I didn't kiss her for 2 weeks. And she was starting to wonder if I was, like, had something wrong with me. Does he like girls? You know. So when the kiss finally came, she was more than ready, but so was I. But, you know, she slammed me up against the wall and never mind. Anyway. Come here, boy. Don't forget, Lisa still holds the high school football record for most yards gained in a game. She was a tough woman. So, you know, I have figured out that I, as much as it's been pretty easy for us, honestly, I did learn that I needed to learn how to express my love to my wife. I had to learn. Like, everything didn't come naturally. I got to tell you, ladies, you know, men have to learn a lot of things. Like, I'm not sure some men would even wear deodorant if it wasn't for women. You know, they had to learn that they needed to do something about that, and that was part of their love language, even though it may not seem like it should be. It's like, that's not, I don't feel loved because he puts on deodorant. Believe me, you should feel loved because some men wouldn't. It's kind of scary. So I'm sure that you've had similar experiences, right? You've had to learn how to express your love to somebody in a way that was helpful, and they connected to it. They could understand it better, and that's why those books sell so many. And I fell in love with Lisa really, really, really quick, but I also started figuring out really, really quick that I needed to do some things if I was going to, you know, let her know that and make her feel loved. In today's scripture that we just looked at, David expresses his love for God. And he does that in many of the Psalms. And not all the Psalms are written by David, but the Psalms are full of expressions of love for God. This scripture, by the way, is also inspired by the Holy Spirit, right? Scripture is inspired by the Holy Spirit. So the Psalms are, if you will, partly David telling us what he did, and God telling us what we should do. Does that make sense? I mean, if you have somebody that you love, you kind of need their help telling you what they love for you to do, for you to express your love. Now, here's the difference. Lisa did not come with a book or a manual or anything at all for me to figure out how to express my love for her in the best way. I had to learn that. Like, it didn't just happen. It wasn't just, and if you want to do this right, you've got to express your love in a way that they appreciate, and they have to learn about you, and they express love in a way that you appreciate, and that's the way it works. This is yes. So if we want to love God, if we want to express our love to God, then we can learn from the Spirit-inspired scriptures on how to express our love to God, and we can also learn from the man who was after God's own heart. And think about that. Acts 13:22 and someplace in Samuel, it talks about how David was a man after God's own heart. What did that mean? It meant that David had somehow learned how to express his love to God in a way that connected to God. That's pretty powerful. So when I look at David and I look at the scripture, I can get some insight on how I can best express my love to God in a way that is God's heart. Now, just let me say this. Sometimes people are together and they refuse to express love the way the other person needs it. How many think that's just not really very smart? I don't think that's very smart. I think it's good to learn how that other person needs you to express love and vice versa. It's a two-way street. And by the way, God knows you, and he knows the way you were formed and the way you were made, and God knows how to express love in a way to you that you need it. So it would make sense to me that if we want to love God back and we want to make that relationship even better, then expressing to God the way God tells us and the way David did it and the way the Psalms have shown us, we could probably gain a lot of traction right there. So now I'm going to share something with you that I've shared before, because I've talked about this in the past. I mean, I've been here, you know, going on 24 years. And so it's, you know, it's natural for me to bring up some things from time to time. And some of you have been here when I've expressed these things, and some of you haven't been here when I've expressed these things. And repetition is a good thing. Our repetition will establish our reputation. So I'm going to repeat myself. And we're going to look at some Hebrew words that David used in his expression of God, or his expression of praise, which is his expression of his love for God. The first and the primary Hebrew word that I'm going to bring up, and then I'm going to say some things, and then it will apply to the rest of them as well. But this is kind of the groundbreaking word, is the Hebrew word halal. How many of you have ever heard someone say hallelujah? Most of us have said hallelujah. That is halal to God. Yeah. Psalm 150 reads this way. Praise the Lord. Every time you hear me say praise, it's the word halal. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his mighty power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the lute and harp. I'm having a hard time because I know this song in the King James Version, and I'm trying to read it in the New King James Version, and I'm just... Praise him with stringed instruments and organs, or stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him with the highest sounding cymbals, or crashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. There you go. I'll just do the last line in King James fully. Halal means to praise the Lord by celebrating, by dancing, by shining forth, and by acting clamorously foolish. Allow me to demonstrate. Yeah!
Nope.
That's cheering for Jesus. But I've seen people do that for Ohio State. Right? Like, you've seen people that get outside themselves and they can just, yeah. Some big ugly guy with a little tiny brown thing under his arm scoots across a yellow, or a, not yellow, it's white, but it's yellow on TV sometimes, line, and they're like, yeah, first down or touchdown or whatever it is, you know, and they're really excited and they just jump and they dance around the room. Yeah, come on. That's hallelujah. Hallelujah is not hallelujah. Hallelujah has nothing to do with hallelujah. They aren't the same thing. That's why David was David, because he knew the difference. And that's why he was a man after God's own heart. So anytime you see hallelujah in the Bible, and it's in there 140 times, in the Old Testament, it's halal. This thing about clamorously foolish gets my attention, by the way. Have you ever felt foolish as a result of your expression of love toward God? I have. Ooh, ooh, me. There have been times, especially early on, because after all, I grew up in a very traditional Methodist church. I was the altar boy. I wore a white thing with a black thing over top of it. I carried a golden thing that I would go up to the altar and light the lights with, and then I'd sit down, fall asleep until the organist would go, and then I would get up and I would realize, oh, the service is about over, and they would sing the last song, and I would go up and put the lights out and then follow the pastor out. Or did I go in front of him? I think I went in front of him. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was the Methodist church. It's okay, yeah, older boy. If you've never felt foolish praising God, and I have, because, you know, when I first ran into the Jesus freaks and they were all raising their hands, we didn't do that, you know, so I had to work my way into it, like, took a while. Actually, it didn't take me very long because I was young and foolish. I mean, if you know, when you're young, a lot of times you don't take as long to do things because you're not used to anything yet. So you can try anything. If somebody says, do this, you're like, okay, why not? If you've never felt foolish in your efforts to praise God, though, you probably haven't reached a level that I encourage you is worth reaching. Because I did have times over the years where my praise got a little wild and I wasn't sure it was being received. And I, you know, can you overdo it? Yeah, I think if you're slapping people and twirling at the same time, that might be a little overly done. But, you know, I've had times when I was worshiping in a way that was with all my might. And sometimes it was by myself. And I remember one time I was in front of 1,200 people. And you know, at first I felt a little foolish, and then I didn't care. And then I don't remember. Because it was so good, I was having such a great time that I was just in God's presence. This halal is the most repeated type of praise, so it should be the most popular with people, shouldn't it? Right? It should be the most popular kind and form and vision of worship and praise seen throughout the body of Christ. You think it is? Wow. That cut loose, give it all, let it rip kind of praise, is that the most popular one in the body of Christ? Maybe not. Is it possible that it's in the Bible so much because God likes it too? What if God likes that kind of free worship? Well, he knows I'm just not like that. Mm-hmm. And I know that you should be. What? Well, remember, we're not doing this expressing our love for our sake. We're expressing our love for his sake. So it would be important to know, if I want to express my love to my wife, it would be important to know what I can do to express my love for my wife and make her very happy. And I want to do those things even though it might be out of my comfort zone. So expressing my love for God might be out of my comfort zone, but I'll tell you what, you can get comfortable with it and you'll be glad you did. Just a thought. I can feel the rebellion. Shh. Again, the focus of our praise is about him, not us. And way too often I've heard people judging how good a worship service was because of how it made them feel. But the most important thing about how good a worship service was isn't about how I feel or you feel or we feel or how it feels. It's how he feels. This is yes. Do I want God to feel, and God does feel, do I want him to feel like I was giving him what I could in an effort to make him, to recognize him, to honor him, to make him feel like I love him. So I think when we make it primarily about us, we might be missing something, feeling awkward or foolish in a time of praise might be a sign that we have stepped outside of ourselves and stepped into something beyond us. That would be, by definition, supernatural. You all okay? I didn't kill you yet, did I? You're right? Right? Check your pulse, make sure. Okay, I'm still alive anyway. Now, some people might say, well, that's just not for me. Actually, it is for you. That's the point. That's the amazing thing about God. It is for him, but it's also for you. It's not something we have to do. It's something we get to do. It's for us. It's there for our benefit as well. It's there for, if you will, our victory. The last line of today's text said, so shall I be saved from my enemies. And I can't remember for sure who it was, but I think it was the cartoon Pogo who said, we have met the enemy and he is us. How many of you know sometimes you're your worst enemy? I'm the one that holds me back from more things than anybody else. I'm the one who might be worried about what this person thinks or what that person thinks or what's going on over here, what's going on over there. I got this worry, that worry, this concern, that concern. I just don't know what to do. I'm just going to cuddle up in a ball and lay on the floor. I don't think that God is trying to get us to halal just for his benefit. In fact, how many of you think God probably will be just fine if nobody does anything? Like, do you think there's already enough angels in heaven? You know, you read about it in the scripture. And they're rising up and shouting, holy, 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 and choirs, and just everything's going on. And it's not like God needs, you know, oh, I don't have enough people. I don't feel good. I don't feel good about myself because I just can't get enough people to praise me. Now, who God is? The things that God asks of us are always more, in fact, for us than they are for him. And too many of us have imprinted images of earthly fathers who maybe took advantage of us in some way, or or were in some way selfish or just harsh or hard, and they demanded something from us, and God is not demanding anything from us. That's just for His pleasure alone. So if our Father in heaven is saying or directing us in a certain way, it's for our development. So, does anybody here remember The Karate Kid? Yeah, good movie, huh? Wax on, wax off. Do you remember that part of how The Karate Kid was doing all this stuff for Mr. Miyagi? And he was waxing his car and painting his fence, and I don't remember what all. And Mr. Miyagi's making him do all this work, and he's going, "How is this teaching me karate?" He finally blows up in Mr. Miyagi's face. And then Mr. Miyagi does this move and attacks him, and what was his name? Daniel. And Daniel moves and knocks Mr. Miyagi's attack away, and then he knocks another one away, and he goes, "Wax on, wax on." And he explains to him that he's been teaching him these moves and developing these muscles and getting him ready. And it was not about Mr. Miyagi's shiny car or painted fence. It was about how he was preparing Daniel. Danielson. That's it. I couldn't remember for a second. Danielson. And by the way, I don't think God is even irritated by our lack of response. I don't think God feels less like He's God if we don't do something. So when I get done with today's message and we go to worship time and there'll be opportunity for you to do a little something that may look like what we're talking about during our time of praise and worship, I don't think God's up there going, "Well, no, let's just see if they do what He said. Look, that one's not. What's wrong with that person? Lightning bolt. I should. It's not who God is. See, this is all for our good. He loves us. He's calling us to come into our destiny and to become the kind of people that He wants us to be. He's not yelling us because we're yelling at us because we're failing to do so. He wants to lead us into victory, and the victory He wants to lead us into is a victory for our sake. He's already won all the victory He needs. It's finished. But we have some things that we need victories in. And just a side note here, this has happened throughout the years in the churches that I've been in. It's happened here. Every once in a while you'll get somebody who wants to prophesy with a scowl on their face that God wants you to get up and worship. You people. And all of a sudden you feel scolded because the worship wasn't something. That person needs their lenses adjusted. Like they got a booger on their lens and they think that you guys are a bunch of snots. And they just, you know, they don't see the way it should be looked at properly. And I'm going to tell you right now, God encourages us to enter in what He has for us. But He doesn't scold us for not doing it. He doesn't need to. And I don't want to scold. I want to encourage. I want to put courage in courage to us. So that being clamorously foolish, even though it sounds a little crazy, and it is a little compared to the way the world looks at things, I suppose, but it becomes a norm for us. Not just something we do on a Sunday afternoon when the right team's winning, or a Saturday, or whenever they're playing. God's not trying to coerce anybody. He's just inviting us into what He has done so that we can walk and live and move and have our being in Him. He's calling us to the liberty that makes us free, so free that we can just, I love God. Without embarrassment. God always wanted relationship, not religious obligation. So lifting my hands because I have to is, you know, religion. There's no gun in your back. But lifting my hands because I want to is relationship. Because I just want to express to him what the scripture tells me he appreciates. So with all that said, I want you to understand that the next few words, because we've already talked about halal, and now they're covered by everything I've told you under this, so you can see some other things that God has told us, and it won't take us very long to do that. The next word that I noticed in the Psalms and in other parts of the scripture is the word Shabak. To praise the Lord with a shout and a loud voice.
Yep. Yeah. I just thank you, Jesus. I just, this is my voice. This is how I'm sick. That's how I just, the way I am. And this is so, you know, God knows how I am. And so he's going to accept me the way I am. And I'm just very, so I just thank you, Jesus. That's all I do. And, you know, so you guys are asking me to do more than I can do. And I don't think you should do that.
Have you ever seen that person? The one who first time their kids cry, don't you dare do that!
Yeah, but Jesus knows how I really am.
Yes, he does know how you really are. He saw you yelling at your kids. We can shout. Again, we can shout at football games. Well, there are some people. I've known a couple of people who didn't shout at football games. They weren't shouters by nature. It wasn't their nature to shout. They didn't get it when they get. They don't shout at anything. But you know what? It doesn't mean that physiologically they can't raise their voice and do something. God's not deaf or anything, so he doesn't need you to yell loud just so he can hear you. However, somehow, this is a word for praise. Praise is the expression of our love. So maybe we ought to give the Lord a shout. How about on three, we just go ahead and give the Lord a shout this morning. One, two, we'll shout the word hallelujah. Will that help? If anybody jumps up and turns around in circles, I won't be mad. One, two, three, hallelujah! That was kind of cool. Did that feel good? It felt good to me. I think that's good. Psalm 63:3. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall shabak you. His loving kindness is better than life. There is a reason to shout it from the rooftops. There's a reason to be excited about it. There's a reason to say, he is Lord, he is great, he's awesome. I serve a great God. Yes. His loving kindness should make you want to shout. And I've noticed that when people are excited, even people with a little, barely, when they really get excited, they do tend to amp up. And we have plenty to be amped up about because God has saved us by his amazing grace. So we have reasons to shout. Another word that you find in the Psalms again and throughout the Bible is Yada. It's the word from which we get the name of the tribe Judah. And I used to belong to a band called Judah. And it was all about praise with us. And it was to praise the Lord. We didn't quite realize this. It was to praise the Lord with hands or hand movements. Well, we were instrument people. We played guitars. But I've seen people who just worship the Lord. They have this thing that they do. I've done it a couple of times. It looks foolish when I do it, but nevertheless, you know, that's cool too. Psalm 138, verse 2, I will worship towards your holy temple and yada your name. What does that mean? Well, I have this picture in my mind of somebody just saying the name of God and going, Jesus, Papa God. Here's a really fun scripture written to a guy named Timothy. 1 Timothy 2:8 says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath or doubting. Maybe we should be a little less reserved. You know, we don't want to force Jesus on anybody. We don't want people to have to put up with our stuff. You know, we don't want anybody to feel uncomfortable. I don't want to make people feel. So when I go to the restaurant, I'm just going to like, you know, I'm just going to want to say a prayer, look around, make sure nobody's looking. Okay. Wonder what would happen if you went, ah, thank you, God, for this amazing meal. I love this food. Bless the waiter and the whole staff here and all the people around. Amen. Well, now you're just showing off. Jesus said, don't pray to be seen by men. Yes, but you should be seen by men praying. There's a difference. When you pray because it's real, because you want to be seen by God, that's real. When you want to be seen, when you look around and wait, oh, holy God. You want to see if anybody's looking. That's a completely different thing. Another word is toda. It's the sacrifice of praise which amplifies a sustained singing. It also refers to singing or to praising the Lord as a processing choir or a parade. I've been in services where people just started worshiping the Lord. The band was playing and all of a sudden somebody starts walking around the thing just worshiping. And the next thing you know, there's a whole crew of people just walking around behind them. And they're all just worshiping the Lord and walking around the room. That was inspired by the Spirit, but it was revealed in the Scripture. I've seen people who did that didn't know that was even in the Scripture. That's a wild idea, isn't it? That somehow the Spirit would direct them to do something that's in the Scripture that they didn't know was in the Scripture? Yeah, it happens all the time. Psalm 138, verse 2, I will worship toward your holy temple and yada your name. I'll just start singing. Let me just read the psalm first. Whoso offereth praise glorifies me. It's just a glorying to God when we do that thing. We do it sometimes here where we just start to sing on one chord. You know what I'm talking about? And we just start to, and it just begins to grow on its own. I was in a meeting one time in Columbus, Ohio at Veterans Memorial Stadium, and we were being led. We were being, quite honestly, entertained a little bit by a guy named Andre Crouch and the Disciples. And there was 2,000 people packed in that place, and Andre Crouch and the Disciples are doing a concert kind of a thing, and then they just said, we need to worship the Lord a little bit, and they started doing some worship. And then the next thing you know, they lost the whole thing. Everything just, they lost it, because people everywhere just started singing on one chord, and they couldn't get it back. I don't know that they really wanted it back anyway. For over 30 minutes, the singing just kept repeating itself. Just over and over and over. It was incredible. And they didn't have any control of it. Finally it settled down and they started singing, you know, one of their songs. Take me back. Take me back, dear Lord, to the place that I once believed. Pretty cool. Zamar. To praise the Lord with the playing of instruments. We have a worship team that helps us with that. Isn't it great that we have people who can play some instruments? We have actually more people that can play instruments in this room probably than we've ever had on the worship team. It's good to praise the Lord. You can do that at home, but we do it here. We have musicians that get up every week and they lead us in worship, and we get to praise the Lord and they play their instruments. How many of you appreciate those people? Can we give them a little bit of a hand clap or something? Yay, worship team. And that includes people in the back who turn knobs. And sometimes, you know, have to run around sticking batteries and things and taking care of stuff. And yeah, what's that? Oh, yeah. We get this painting stuff too. That's kind of cool. There's just all sorts of stuff that we can do, and it's amazing. Psalm 108, verse 1. Oh God, my heart is steadfast. I will sing and give zamar. I'm going to beat on an instrument for your name. Sometimes we make a joyful noise, but it's still joyful. And then one more, Tehillah. A praise from your spirit, the residual song of the Lord from the heart of the believer. Psalm 22, verse 3. But you are holy, enthroned in the Tehillahs of Israel. One version of this, by the way, says that God inhabits the Tehillah of his people. We've had those times when we were doing all we could to worship him, and maybe we just didn't, you know, it didn't resonate with everybody in the room, or it didn't connect with, and then there are other times when almost nobody can be left out, right? You've been in those times when the worship was so good, and it just seemed like everybody was just on page together with the Spirit of God and what was going on, and you have this crazy experience that's just wonderful, and it just feels so good. It's very similar to Todah. If you noticed a little bit ago, I was trying to shift my brain for a second. That's why you have notes sometimes, because you get lost, because the Todah is very similar. But this is kind of a deeper, a spiritual singing. And 1 Corinthians 14:15 says, Paul says, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding. When the Spirit of God just begins to work in us and move us, and we just allow ourselves to flow with that, and we just sing, and the words just come, or maybe they just are words in the Spirit. One more, I think. Yep. This one's called Barak. To praise the Lord by kneeling or bowing. Sometimes there are those times when you'll see some people, and one will be being clamorously foolish and just twisting and turning and shouting and jumping, and another one finds themselves bowed down or kneeling down or even laying prostrate on the floor and just in awe of the presence of God. And I've experienced all those things, and I want to experience them again and again and again because they're wonderful. So I've been on the floor in services, and I've been dancing in services, and I've just had God move. And sometimes it's just kind of trying to figure out what exactly should I be doing at this moment? Because I can go home, and if I notice, take the time to notice that the countertop needs cleaned, and I can beat Lisa to it before she gets home. It's the kind of expression that really resonates with her, especially if she had to run out of the house and it wasn't where she wanted it to be, because some of you know she's the neat freak. We'd just be, you know, living in a pigsty if it wasn't for Lisa. I don't get those things done. She's the one. So I know that those are the things that don't resonate with me right away as I need to do this, because I got all this other stuff on my mind, and I can walk right past something that needs to be done. But if I can take a second, take a breath, look at what's proper for the moment, I can really express my love to her. Same thing with God. Depending on what we're doing in a service and where things are going, it can be a powerful expression of love for God that then does, in fact, not only release me, but release the whole room. So sometimes that's a thing where I just get down on my knees and honor God. So now, wrapping this up, we're going to go back to Hallel a second. Psalm 135, verses 1 through 2. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise him, O you servants of the Lord, you who stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. The word stand here is not one of those other words. The word praise in this verse was halal over and over. You know, we start every praise and worship session by asking people to stand. I realize, and I want to make this clear, I realize that not everybody can stand for a very long period of time. I get that. It's okay. You know, stand, sit. If you're, you know, able, kneel, but some people can't. Can't do that. The joints just don't do that anymore. You can sit on your seat and bow your head and maybe a moment of reverence to God as a worship to Him. But standing is very much associated with that. So stand as long as you can stand, and when you can't stand anymore, you have to sit, and then you sit until you can't stand anymore, and then you stand. Just like that. With all these forms of praise, I believe God is inviting us into His presence in deeper and deeper ways. They aren't demands from a moody God. They're invitations from a loving God, and they help us to focus and to refocus. And they help us to renew our minds. And they help us to bring thoughts into captivity. And that in turn will tear down strongholds that need to be torn down and establish the strongholds that need to be established, because the Lord is our stronghold. I want the Lord to have a stronghold on me. And the more I express my love to Him, the more open I become, the more free I become for Him to establish His stronghold on me. And He holds me. And then all the imaginations and arguments and all the stupid stuff just gets cast down. So, today I just want to encourage us, each of us, to be the one who praises God. Be the one who praises God. Amen?